Now, that is Justin Bieber from his new song. That is a guaranteed, well, it's reasonably new. It's newer than Powderfinger, the song that we've been playing. Anthony Cummings, I reckon I could see Anthony doing the old Justin Bieber with wife Bernadette. Anthony, good morning.
How are you?
I reckon I can see you in the lounge room. Just a little quiet dance around the lounge room with Bernie.
Oh, yeah, a couple of flat foots.
Do you know who Justin Bieber is?
Bloke gets in an awful lot of trouble. I wouldn't want to be his manager.
No, he does. He does. You know Powderfinger, though, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know whether I quite believe you, but anyway, we'll press on. Mate, the stable's starting to get through with a few winners the last couple of weeks, which is good.
Yeah, some of the horses sort of coming through their grades, you know, and heading towards carnivals. They need to keep improving, but at a stage in their preparation where that's likely, and got some nice sort of prospects and new horses, a couple of old faces will sort of come back in the next couple of weeks. So, looking forward to the carnival.
I want to go straight to the last because this horse in the last, Montague's, really had the interest of punters with TAB and all the other betting agencies around the country in the last 24 hours or so after a really impressive win first up. How do you see tomorrow in the last race?
The barrier offers a bit of a challenge, I suppose, and taking on the older horses. From that gate, he's probably going to have to give some nice horses a bit of a start. But he's a pretty good horse himself. His finishing speed at his win the other day at Warwick Farm were very good. He does have quite a lot of promise. So, I do expect that he'll make it to Stags grade in the way through this preparation, certainly against his own age. He has to be of that quality to be able to beat the older horses in the race tomorrow, I'd say.
You must think that, though, if you've put him into the race.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. He seems to be, a lot of these horses, they're nice. There's a couple of other, Peter and Paul Snowden have got another three-year-old in the race, but there's a few that have had a few starts. Your horse has got that big upside to come.
Well, that's the thing. He made a mistake. He was slow out of the gates at Warwick Farm, and he doesn't necessarily have to come from that far off speed. I think logically, though, from the gate, he's going to be in the second half of the field and looking for cover in the first part and then just to hit the line late on. But, he's shown us a fair bit here in his work. It is of a very high standard and he is on a fairly steep learning curve. So, he's likely to take a decent jump from what he did last time. I think the step up to the mile and going to Randwick are going to be very much in his favour. And he's already shown us that he can handle a wet track at least to a point.
Yep.
And going to a second up run, I actually thought he would be better there than he was first up because he sort of slipped and slid a little bit at Warwick Farm in running second first up. So I think, Randwick's certainly a much different wet track to Warwick Farm. He'll get better footing. I think that'll get him stretching out properly and being very effective.
You've had, after tomorrow, three different jocks on, Ty, Mitch Bell last time and Jason Collett tomorrow. Was Mitch Bell surprised just that when he came back, just the turn of speed that the horse did have?
Yeah, I think so. Mitch, to be fair, rode him pretty well. Didn't do anything wrong, but in terms of sort of going forward to the better races, the syndicate were keener to get one of the mainstream guys and not trying to be, kind of Mitchell, but that was just their view. So, we've gone to Jason and, hopefully he's impressed enough with the horse to stay with him through the carnival.
Yeah, exactly. What are your exact plans beyond tomorrow in a perfect world?
Not quite sure. I mean, when you look at his pedigree, there's a fair bit of speed on the mum side. And it might be that a mile is his right trip. But equally, three-year-olds against their own age, you can't stretch them out. But I was sort of hoping that a Rosal Guineas might be within his grasp. Certainly tomorrow's run will give us some fair indication of those prospects. From there, you've got a couple of choices to make, and it'll depend exactly on the makeup of the three-year-olds at the time and how he's going, whether you go on to a Derby or come back to a Doncaster. But, there's potential for those sorts of things. None of it might happen, is it? It is a big ask of a horse in its first race in preparation to go from the maiden to Group 1. So, you've got to temper those, your A-grade wish list to what's real for the horse and the way it's going.
Understand. A lot of interest in it tomorrow, the last. Can Alpha Beat do it again?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's going to get conditions to suit again. Got a nice, you know, soft draw, fair bit of weight, but he's earned it, I expect, in this grade. You know, he'll run very well. He's certainly not gone backwards since his first up run. You know, after that, we thought he might need an extra bit of time to get over it, but he bounced back really nicely. Nice piece of work on Saturday and a nice change up again in his work on Tuesday. And the 1400 on the what looks like being, you know, rain affected at least, perhaps heavy, you know, he's really going to suit him.
Yeah, no, he's drawn a nice gate to get that similar run and pounce on them like he did last time.
That's
mate,
right.
You've got a lot of other horses, as you mentioned, coming back that are nominated in features and really they've just got to come back and show you. Maracabar is one that, has he got the prospect of going forward?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's a pretty nice horse. I mean, I thought he was a bit unlucky the other day, got pulled up at the wrong time, and if there is a right time anyway, but yeah. But he just got held up and sort of lacked momentum once he got out. You know, ran a pretty good second for his first up run. He runs over a mile next Saturday. I think he'd be pretty safe to follow through the carnival and he'll make it a stakes grade, I think, this time through. Bagara is back and looks to have improved again, you know, from the last preparation. I mean, she's every preparation she's come back, she's reached a new level. You know, you'd wonder after last time whether she perhaps hadn't sort of got to where she's going to be, but you know, this time back, I'd say she's done that again.
Mm.
She trials on Monday, and then we'll have a look at her at the 1300 the following Saturday. So, you know, she's going fine, and really pleased with her. Spider Coda has been a bit of a promises and no delivery so far, but you know, once again, a horse has come back in really good order and looks to be ready to have his best preparation. Ayman's had some issues after a very good first preparation. But he seems to be over all of those things now and is sort of pretty pleased with the way he's come back. So, Miracle ran fourth in the campaign and he's back in good order. He didn't like a wet track the other day first up, but he'll step up off that run almost certainly. He goes just to a ratings race next week at Canterbury. But, you know, I'd be, you know, surprised if he didn't make it into the group races over a mile and a quarter plus for the 3-year-olds.
Yeah, when he gets over ground for sure.
Yeah.
Now, there's
a
good team there, mate. As I say, there's a lot of interest from the punters and the one and the last tomorrow, Montague and Alpha Beat. Let's hope it can continue on its winning way this preparation. We thank you for your time, mate. And now go away and Google Powderfinger.
I'll go and have a look.
Thanks, Anthony. Right. Anthony Cummings joining us out there at Randwick. Here's a man that would know Justin Bieber. He'd also know Powderfinger. He'd know Lott's New Breed Racing. Michael Costa is joining us from Warwick Farm. Morning to you, Mike.
Yeah, good morning. Not sure about Justin Bieber, but definitely no Powderfinger.
Oh, you'd know Justin Bieber. You'd know his music, surely. Come on, Michael. You're a young bloke.
Yeah, we do. It's hard to not know who he is, but can't say that...
You're into his music.
Yeah.
No, I think everyone knows Justin Bieber. Michael, I haven't met you. I saw you from a distance at the Gold Coast, and I know he won't mind me saying, well, hopefully he won't, but Ron Duffersey and I were talking there, and he said, that's Michael Costa over there. He's really worked hard to get to a base of where you are now at Warwick Farm, and in recent times you've opened up a stable at the Gold Coast. You put in the hard yards, as I said to you off air earlier this morning, to get to where you are now.
Yeah, I have. Look, I started off buying one tried horse for only $4,000 a couple of years back and got given one tried horse from one client that I knew, and it was just off the back of a few winning results, nothing big, but just turning a few tried horses around and pretty much just elbow grease. We started off on a shoestring budget. We didn't have any major support from any of the studs or any major clients, and just hopefully just focusing really on customer service and getting results has been able to build it to a sizable number now.
And so, as I say, you've opened up a Gold Coast base in recent times. You're able to take up horses there and you've got a couple in tomorrow. How many have you got at the farm, Warwick Farm?
Got 30 in work at the farm, so that's my capacity. So just with the yearling sales coming over now, we're just looking to keep the progressive horses in Warwick Farm. It's just not economically viable to have those horses which sort of reach their mark and can't carry the 61 kilos of top weight now. So we're just looking at another option for our clients just to send some horses to the coast. From our numbers, it'll look to be between $1,000 to $2,000 cheaper for horses to be in training there. So it just gives the horses another option to continue going through the grades of the class system in Queensland.
Mike, looking at your record of your last 50 runners, there's a few there that people know that you've got off other stables. But right now, as I say, I saw you at the Magic Million sale. Have you got clients that you've been buying yearlings that we'll see and you've got one in tomorrow, obviously, in the English Classic race. Have you got those two-year-olds now coming through?
Yeah, I do. So last season was the first season that we really attacked the sales. So we spent over just $1 million. We didn't spend over $200,000 for more than one horse, but generally around that, you know, $30,000 to $90,000 mark. And we syndicated them really well. And the interesting thing is, my market is 70% of those share sales are actually to new owners in the industry. So it's a lot of education to these new owners, but that's. For some reason, the market, that's what I've got. So it's just going to play to our strengths and keep targeting that market.
You paid $25,000 here for the one tomorrow, China Plate, lining up in a $250,000 race. A huge thrill for the owner and New Breed Racing, as you're named, Michael. How do you see this two-year-old Tracy colt tomorrow?
Look, we'll go there with no expectations. He's generated a lot of interest from Hong Kong off his trials. He's a horse that's definitely going to be a better three-year-old, but he's just a real tough horse. The things he's allowed me to do in his training to get him there is just extremely tough. So from the barrier of 17, we're just going to go there with no expectations. And if he gets a good run in transit, he's definitely strong enough to rattle off a good couple of furlongs. But just based on he's still a bit raw, I think he's going to be a better horse next time round.
Must have shown something in the trial if you've got a phone call from HK.
Yeah, well, look, Jason Collett was pretty keen to stick with him as well, but just due not to being able to the guaranteed run being a first starter in the race, his manager Brian Haskins took the ride on a horse which had already run, which was completely fair enough. But look, we've got a good relationship with Sam, so hopefully we get a good run.
Well, let's hope so. You've, as I say, put in the hard yards. Have you got a winner somewhere else? You got a couple in there at the Gold Coast. Can you help our listeners up there?
Yeah, look, if Red Dynamite travels up well, I'd expect him to go very close. They did travel up and he got there this morning, so it's a little bit of a tough journey for him. But if you can see the mounting yard, if he's on his toes in the mounting yard, it's a good indication that he'll be there to run well.
Okay. Good luck tomorrow, mate, with this horse. I hope the two-year-old can run really well for you, China Plate, and that Sam can give him a good ride. And you're off and going, mate, and we'll see you at the English Classic Sale.
All right, thank you.
Thanks a lot, Mike. Michael Costa from New Breed Racing, and a big chance. Look, he's at big odds tomorrow, but sounds like you have something each way on him. Let's go to Melbourne. I've been told off air that our next guest, Tony McAvoy, has the biggest smile from this morning's jump outs at Flemington. Morning, Tony.
Good morning, Andrew.
They tell me that you had two or three that might have went all right this morning.
Yeah, we had a nice morning at the trials. It was a nice morning this morning, so... but they are any trials, Andrew?
Yes, no, understand. I just love stirring you up a little bit, mate. the most interest was on the Blue Diamond Contender Concealer. How did this youngster go?
Yeah, very happy with her, Andrew. She began well, followed it. There was one of Troy and Leon Corston's horses led and went along at a good clip. And she just tucked in behind it and travelled a little keenly, but a little bit fresh, but good, and then peeled to its inside and went to the line full of running. It was a fantastic trial.
Yeah, that's good. So obviously off to the prelude?
Yes, mate. She'll run in the prelude now and then into the diamond, all being well.
Yep. Has this been the standout two-year-old from your pack at this stage?
Yeah, she's the benchmark of mine. She's the one that stepped up... earlier than I had expected, Andrew. I originally never had her in the diamond or the slipper because being a Nakoni, they've all taken a little bit of time, but she's just broken that mould a little bit. So she's led the pack for mine.
It's interesting. I'll bring in the English Premier race tomorrow while I'm on the two-year-olds. You've got the two there, Lissard and Haydock. How do you see them from their draws? A bit awkward for Haydock tomorrow.
Yeah, a little bit awkward, both the draws. I think Lissette will get back a little bit, but Haydock's an on-pace running horse, so he's going to have a bit of luck. But look, it's only one turn there at Caulfield, as you know, and I couldn't be more pleased with both horses this morning, Andrew. They're really up on their toes and bright, and I wish I was feeling as good as them.
Well, I reckon you are. I reckon you've come back from NZ with a bit of buzz around you, mate.
Well, I have. We've bought some beautiful horses, and I'm been absolutely amazed, you know, overwhelmed with the people supporting us now. And I think it's really looking good for the next couple of years.
Now, I haven't got the full sheet of jump outs here, but what were the two others that impressed you at the jump outs?
Look, I had a horse called Fidel Astro. He jumped out really nicely. He's a nice young horse who's had some soundness issues. There was a horse, a maiden horse called Sophocles, that trailed quite nicely. I had 2 2-year-olds there that trailed nicely as well, but they're just learning their craft.
Okay. All right, we can't wait for all that, and particularly Concealer. The horse is just in the right spot at the right time to really pounce on this race come tomorrow week, and then hopefully into the big one.
Yeah, exactly, Andrew. Like, she's a good quality filly, and things have gone really well for her, and I think today's trial will just top her off nicely, and I'm really looking forward to Saturday week.
Now, I know I'm going around a little bit, but I'm, you know, me, mate, things come into my big brain and I've got to ask before I forget them. Shiraz, what's Shiraz up to?
Yeah, he's galloping up at Hawkesbury. He's very well, just in the early stages of galloping, Andrew, so his fitness is not there at the moment. But coming along well. I'm very happy with him.
Okay. Is it a Sydney prep?
Look, it'll be where the rain is,
right?
Where the tracks are softest, that's where he'll run, Andrew. So okay. I haven't pinpointed a program for him, but he's a good quality sprinter and he'll be running in some nice races through the championships, I hope.
Okay. You've got 5 runners at Canberra today. Is there one in your mind there that our listeners can follow?
Look, the horse that's trialled really well going into his first run was a horse called a Good Yank. He's an all-American horse for proven thoroughbreds. His trials were super, and he went down and ran on a heavy 10 and just couldn't get a grip. His wheels were spinning and ran very poorly.
You there, Tone? No, that line's dropped out. We'll leave it there.
Get a grip.
Yeah, sorry, Tony, we lost your line and then it came back.
Yeah, look, a Good Yank.
Yep.
He's a horse that trialled very well going into his first start, Andrew.
Yep.
But on his first start, he just ran into a heavy 10 and just didn't handle the ground. So if he handles the ground, he's the horse that's got quite a bit of upside from mine today.
Righto. So that's race 5, number 2 for Blake Shin, race 5, number 2. You got a heap of chances tomorrow, mate, but it sounds like we just watched those 2-year-olds in the English Premier race.
Yes, correct. An underestimation will run very well. He's fresh, won very well first up, half a kilogram over the minimum. There's a lot to like about him as well.
Okay, down in the weights. That is race 6, number 4 tomorrow for Caulfield. Tony, just keep that smile on your dial, mate.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Tony. Tony McAvoy there joining us. Flemington, a clocker of horses, and he was there for a good portion of these jump outs this morning. Warren Huntley's online. Morning to you, Warren.
Good morning, Andrew. Interesting that I'm following Tony McAvoy after this morning's jump outs. I was looking for a spot on his bandwagon.
Yes, he seemed to be pretty happy, and particularly with Concealer. What was your point of view? And one thing I didn't mention with Tony, and I should have, was all these jump outs were down the Flemington straight this morning.
Yeah, it's great to see them occasionally down the straight. There was a good bit of moisture in the track, so I've seen them run quicker times than they ran this morning, but I'd say the track would have been in about the soft 5 range and just really nice surface for the horses galloping. Concealer, I saw her gallop at Moonee Valley Monday morning also, and she's a big, strong filly, and I don't think the Valley track suits her. She got a little bit lost around the home turn in the Moonee Valley, but this morning she shat just off the speed and then just quicker nicely, and for a 2-year-old, and we had some experienced horses going down the straight, and I got it as marginally the quickest trial of the morning. So she went very well, Concealer, and that run coming up Saturday week will be ideal for her. And I think she's very well suited to straight racing. She's such a big striding filly and a rangy filly that, you know, the tight track like Moonee Valley where she was just to have a gallop on Monday, I don't think that'd suit her. But, gee, we've seen her win down the straight. She looks to have come back in great order. Loved her jump out.
What about Star Turn for Hawks Racing? They decided after the one run pre-Christmas to stop and not go to the Magic Millions. They feel that Star Turn can be a really good contender in both Melbourne and Sydney. How did Star Turn jump out?
Very nicely, typical of the Hawks team. They're not really pushed out in their trials, but he was close to the outside and really found the line strongly. They were about 20 metres out, so they're close to the outside rail there. I got him running third in that trial. It'll be good to have a look at the vision later on to just make sure I've got the numbers right. But I thought a horse that's been going well at the jump outs for the team Corson's Conscious split them. And I thought Concealer ran very well. Mentioned it was the quickest trial of the morning. There wasn't a lot between the first three or four and Conscious for team Corson's and then Hawks for Star Turn. I think ran second and third respectively. So they've run very well. Given the context of the times relative to other jump outs in the morning.
Yep, understand. Vezelay is one that I'm interesting, monitoring here for Team Corstens and Brad Spicer and the crew that, you know, a good jump out this morning could see the horse be nominated at least and run in the Lightning. How did Vezelay go, the mare?
She went really well. I think the important thing with her is that they tried to get her out up in distance a bit and she can over race a little bit. This morning down the straight, she relaxed really well and sat probably a length or so off the speed, quick and nicely to run third and not beaten that far in her jump out. And the time there was one of the next bracket, so probably a quarter of a second or so slower than the quickest trial of the morning. So still ran quite good time. I thought she relaxed nicely. That's the important thing, I think, with Vezelay is to make sure that she can get into that rhythm and not be as vulnerable when she's just racing and wanting to get it all over and done with. And that seemed to be her mannerism today. She relaxed and then quickened over the last couple of hundred metres. So I actually left the jump outs with Troy Corsons and we were discussing that as we headed to the car and he was thrilled with the way that she appeared to just relax that little bit in the early stage and then build her momentum late. And Tony McAvoy played a big role in that. He's got a lightly raced galloper called Fidel Astro, who resumed from a long spell, was terrific recently at Geelong, and I got him winning that jump out. So another one from the McAvoy stable that you can keep an eye out for is a horse called Fidel Astro. But I thought Vezelay was very good in that trial, Andrew.
Okay.
Probably running third or fourth in a bit of a bunch finish behind Fidel Astro.
Understand. Warren, earlier on we saw, you know, Rising Romance, or at least the down to have a jump out, Rising Romance and a few other contenders. Anything else you want to update for our listeners?
Yeah, that was a good jump out, Andrew. They were a little bit slow, probably half a second or so slower, three-quarters of a second slower than the quickest jump out of the morning. But Rising Romance, Wah Whale and Extra Zero all went down in that jump out and trialled very nicely. Not a lot between them. And I hope I'm not speaking out of school here, but Tony McAvoy had an unraced horse in that jump out that was just travelling beautifully behind those quality gallopers, a horse called Sophocles. A horse that'd have to be patient with, a four-year-old son of Nakoni. He obviously, as an unraced horse, he can go to a maiden somewhere. I think if we see Sophocles in a maiden somewhere in the next couple of weeks, he'd be very hard to beat. I thought Rising Romance, Wah Whale and Extra Zero all trialled quite nicely.
Okay. That was about it of the main ones, I think, going through the list. Anything else you wanted to throw up or not?
Well, the first two jump outs were over 1,100 metres, Andrew.
Yep.
It was two of those, and then we moved the barriers 300 metres forward for the 800 metre jump outs. And Entirely Platinum was listed to go around in one of the later heats, but went to one of the 1,100 metre heats, the first heat, and they ran 2 seconds quicker than the second heat. So both Entirely Platinum, who went across the line with a Danny O'Brien trained Czar Speed, they had quite solid hit-outs over 1,100 metres, and Czar Speed's a restricted galloper. He looks to be going very well, and we know Entirely Platinum's probably going to go to a Group 1 contest, maybe even the Or first up, and he looks to be coming to hand nicely. Big, strong galloper he is, but he had a good hit-out this morning, and they ran 2 seconds quicker than the other heat over 1,100 metres.
Vital information here. We're looking towards big Melbourne Autumn. These horses will end up in Sydney. It's great information, not only from Tony McAvoy on Concealer, but this is the info punters need, and we thank you for it. Warren, good luck today and over the weekend.
Thanks, Andrew.
Good on you, mate. Warren Huntley, who was there this morning for those Flemington jump outs. You can watch them later. They pop up on the Flemington webpage. Michael Maxworthy, a regular on a Friday, is joining us. Morning to you, Maxie.
Good morning, Andrew. Looking forward to the Randwick card tomorrow. Great card. Hopefully this weather stays the way it is. I'm at Mascot Airport at the moment, only a stone's throw from Randwick, and it is overcast, but no rain. That highway, race number 2, is a beauty. Probably the best highway I think we've had. The Inglis Classic, race number 5 for the 2-year-olds. Can't wait to see. Wonderful story. The debutante, the colt, trained by Chris Watter. But the two races, Andrew, that have got me excited tomorrow are races 6 and 7.
All right. What have you fancied in them? You must fancy something if you like them.
Well, I think the Baywatch fans here in Sydney, they'll be doing a bit of a dance, a bit of a run down the beach at Bondi tomorrow, because not the Hoff, but the Hoof is in town, and you've been covering him a fair bit over the last week, Hassel Hoof. He's undefeated in 6 starts for Donna Logan. And we know that Donna She's got a really good measuring stick with horses like Rising Romance and Bulk Stock and Barrel. She knows the type of horses to bring to Australia. And I think he's only got to settle in. She has mentioned to you that he can get himself a little bit warmed up. He's a little bit new, although he's a four-year-old. He hasn't completely settled down. But I think if he does and he holds together tomorrow, he should be too good for the opposition, Hasselhoof. I don't know that any of the opposition are really going ahead, whereas this fella's been nommed for some big races during the championships. But I think Hasselhoof can win his first start in Australia tomorrow.
Well, Donna Logan, who's struggling with her voice, it's not terribly strong, but she told me this morning that she is unbelievably surprised just how well Hasselhoof has handled his first trip away from home and on a plane, and just how well he settled into Randwick. Absolutely looks $1 million, and there's no excuse on how the horse has travelled and settled in. So good positive vibe this morning from Donna with Hasselhoof. Where's your other one, mate?
And just still on Hasselhoof, when you were mentioning that, I was just reflecting back to the great Dave O'Sullivan from New Zealand. Now, I remember Dave always said, and he had a lot of hit-and-run missions to Australia, whether it be Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, and he said a Kiwi's best run in Australia was usually his first run here. So that gives me a little bit more confidence with Hasselhoof.
And when they come close to a race is another thing that Donna had in mind, let's come close and then we're into the race, bang, and away we go. So that's the way she's mapped it out.
The Eskimo Prince race number 7, Andrew, plenty of depth here. 7 of them are first up, including the favourite Pride of Dubai, who hasn't raced for 10 months. A dual Group 1 winner as a 2-year-old. He's got a big job to do here. 1,200 metres, first up after all of that time off with 60.5. I'm looking at horses like Tarquin, number 2. I think he's a good price at $13. Got a little bit of residual fitness with that second placing back in early December. And then a good trial the other day. Although he only beat one horse home, he went well. Didn't have his blinkers on. But the horse I really like in the Eskimo Prince is at $12. It's number 10. Le Romain, the 3-year-old trained by Chris Lees at Newcastle. Now, he won first up over the 1,000 the other day, did find the right lane in the home straight, which probably flattered the win a little bit. But I think overall, he's a nice horse going forward, Le Romain. I think he'll probably settle back off the speed. Rain-affected track won't be a problem, and I'll be very surprised if race 7, number 10, Le Romain, is not in the thick of things when they hit the wire tomorrow.
Well, certainly we know the horse can handle the soft conditions, as you say. So the 2 for Maxi tomorrow, Michael Maxworthy at Randwick, race 6, number 4, Hasselhoof, and race 7, number 10, La Ramon for Chris Lees and Christian Reith. Mate, safe travels up to the Sunshine Coast. We'll see you on Sky Thoroughbred Central tonight.
Okay, thanks for that, Andrew.
Thanks, mate. Michael Maxworthy. Jonathan Darcy is from Inglis. And Jonathan, you've had plenty of people viewing yearlings this week.
That's right, Andrew. Actually, I'm not surprised to hear that Donald Logan's happy with the way Hasselhoof's going to run up tomorrow. We've got a bunch of Kiwis here, and I'll tell you what, they've assimilated very well to our conditions. They were proving to be very hard to get to bed last night.
That's good. That's good. Hey, you've got people coming in from all parts, really, for this Inglis Classic sale that begins tomorrow night after the races.
Look, it's a sale that I think is on everyone's radar now. That the type of horses that we're seeing come out of the sale, of course, is horses like Manawanui and Brazen Bow and Marino and Peggy Jean, Group 1 winners. And I think that's caught the attention of not only Australian buyers, but as I said, we've got a very good buying bench here, but a few internationals here as well. We've got a couple of gentlemen from China who are looking to invest. They bought here last year and looking to reinvest. They're very happy with the way their horses are going. Georgie Moore, one of Hong Kong's leading agents, is down here. We've managed to drag him off the beach where he was for a day or so, but he was here looking at plenty of yearlings yesterday. Mick Flanagan's out from Ireland. We've got a few of the Hong Kong trainers down, Tony Millard and Richard Gibson, a few trainers down from Singapore as well. So, no, look, it's a great international buying bench and plenty of nice horses for them to have a look at.
That's good. Now, the inspections continue today and tomorrow. And as I said to you earlier in the week, it's the first night session of the Inglis Classic Sale. What time does it begin tomorrow night, Jonathan?
Andrew, everyone's welcome from 6 p.m. Well, they're welcome all day, of course, yep. But the selling will kick off at about 6 p.m. We'll go through till about 9:30. We've got happy hour on here at the bar. We've got plenty of catering options. So it's a great night out. It's going to be good weather, we're assured. So after a great day's racing at Randwick, what better way to celebrate than to pop up to Newmarket and see the next stage of the horses coming in under the hammer.
And people will be there's buses.
Yeah, look, we've got a couple of buses at 5:20 and 5:40 from Randwick. I think it's Bay 5 on Allison Road, so they can make their way down there. If they've been at the track, just wander out and we'll happily bring you up here to Newmarket. Plus, there's plenty of parking here if you've driven to the course, or if you're not going racing but you'd like to come out and have a look at the sale. Plenty of parking on site here at Newmarket, which is just up the road from Randwick, just off Barker Street, below the Prince of Wales Hospital.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we'll chat again tomorrow, mate, but the Inglis Classic sale, it's on starting tomorrow night, then Sunday and Monday beginning at 10 in the morning. So it's always one classic sale. Good on you. Thanks, Jonathan.
Absolutely, Andrew. Cheers.
Thanks, mate. Jonathan Darcy there from Inglis.
Say hello, say hello.